The Giants. Well, on this page, you're going to see a slideshow, first off, with the giant gods. And most of them are these artifacts or giant gods with semi-giant, semi-divine kings. And then maybe you'll see a smaller earthling. So you have the major giants, which are the gods themselves who came down. There in Genesis 6, it says basically the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and the days after when the sons of God came down, saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and had sex with the daughters of men, and they had children by them. We're talking about having children between a giant alien species and an earthling species that had been fashioned into their image. And when they saw that the girls were becoming beautiful, they didn't bring enough girls to Earth, just male workers and a few females that are of the king's bloodline. So a shortage of females, and it didn't take long, they started grabbing the earthling females. Well, their offspring became what the Genesis would call the heroes of old, men of renown. These were the first kings who were the Nephilim giants. And what happens is these giant gods who had sex with earthlings, they have this offspring that's like them, bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, and lives much longer than the earthlings. But still, they're not as big, as strong, as fast, or live as long as the gods. So you kind of got a breed in between the two, earthling and gods. Now, when they had these children, they would appoint them to positions of authority over the earthlings. So what would happen is the god would have his house, a ziggurat, and it'd be along the Euphrates River or the Tigris River, southern Iraq. And what you'd have is the ziggurat, and then up 50 miles or so, another ziggurat for another one, and another ziggurat for another one. And so these giant aliens built their houses. And around their houses gathered the earthlings. And those were the ones that became loyal to that god who lived in that particular ziggurat. So what the gods did, by having sex, they created a in-between race of beings, one that they can place in between the earthlings and them. And this would be a good way to pass what they want on, the controls they want, the directions they want, and so forth, and do it for the city through the king, do it through for the city in the way of ceremony, religious ceremonies and the like, through the high priest. So the high priest would be a giant, semi-giant, semi-divine, mixed breed. And the king would be a semi-giant, semi-divine, mixed breed. And that's how it would go for thousands of years. And these semi-divines would marry other semi-divines, so that their bloodline would continue with the benefits of being tall, bigger, stronger, smarter, faster and live longer. Who wouldn't want that for their children? So what they did, just like in Genesis, I'll use that as an example. I'm going to call these generations were led by, of Hebrews were led by these Nephilim giants. And what I'm going to say, so if you look at the first 10 generations from Adam down to Noah, every one of them married their full sister. If they didn't have one, they married their half-sister, if they, providing that she too is a semi-divine. If they don't have that, then they'd marry their first cousin, providing she's a semi-divine. And by that, they try to make sure that these semi-divines are of the bloodline way down the line of the king, the alien king Anu on planet Nibiru, where they come from. So keeping the bloodlines is important. So the first 10 generations down to Noah, that's who they married. And by doing so, they produced an heir of the double seed, meaning both bloodlines were of the same bloodline, and therefore it continues. And this practice was held, including Noah. And then the next 10 generations, it was the same thing down to Abraham. Abraham married his sister, Sarah, and so on and so forth. So you're talking about heroes of old, men of renown, who were giants, semi-divine, mixed breeds, offspring of the gods, okay? And it is, if you look at how long the heroes of old in Genesis lived, they're living 1,000 years, Methuselah and Jared and so forth. They're living 1,000 years until you get to Noah, which is like 425 or something, and then it starts to be diluted down. But still, you will find kings that were king very long periods of time. And you can find that on any of the city-states listed on the front page. And when you go to one of those city-states, there'll be a text that says the complete Sumerian kings list. If you go to that complete Sumerian kings list, you will see the kings before the flood as well as the kings after the flood, how long they were king, and then who was next, and who was next. So it's all in chronological order, and it had to be written by someone who could do that before the flood. So let's go through this slideshow. Giant gods, semi-divine kings. Slide one, which you can get to by simply hitting refresh on your computer. You can stop the slideshow by putting your cursor on the artifact. A brief description will pop up. If you want to study the artifact without the description popping up, put your cursor on the other artifact. The description will pop up on it, but still the slideshow has been paused. There's a rewind arrow to the left and a fast forward arrow to the right. You can guide your way through these artifacts. So the first one you're going to see is a wall. And that white rock is what is called a Kaduru stone or a boundary stone. This is a Babylonian, and there's a boundary stone pertaining to a certain king. On the walls here are alien giants, gods who came down. And you can always tell the giants are by their size, but you can tell which one of these giant gods are of the king Anu's from their planet bloodline, direct descendants of the king, because they wear the crown of animal horns. And that's where the artifacts are pertaining to the royal family, the sons of God and daughters who came down. This is who they are. This is what they look like. This is what they did. There are texts and artifacts. Okay, let's move down, and you'll see gods and goddesses, giants. Usually when you see a giant naked female, that would be a Nana. On this particular artifact, 1C, that's Ereshkigal, queen of the underworld. And it looks like she's holding scrolls. Artifact number two, you got two different ones, where the god is on the ship and the earthlings are rowing. And there's a huge difference between the gods and an earthling. Okay, and some of these artifacts are carved very well. Some of them may not be. So when you're talking about perfect carving, especially on a cylinder seal, which I will show you when I find one, this carving becomes very difficult. And again, you'll see boats with the giant god on it and the worker earthlings below. One of my favorites. Artifact number three. What you're looking at is the king of their planet seated on his throne on their planet. And the newly fashioned earthlings that had been flown by the fashioners, sons of the god, on earth, fashioned on earth, and sent to God the Father for his approval, so he can get a good idea of what was just fashioned to become the worker race to help the gods do the work, which was overwhelming, as they established Earth Colony under that king right there, King Anu. That's artifact number three. You'll see time and time again earthlings working for the gods. The earthlings are much smaller. The mixed breed, such as on 3A, you'll see small this, semi-large that, and giant seated, which again has the crown of animal horns. More artifacts, more feasts, more wine, more food, more music for the gods. You can see the difference in size. You can see the bald-headed primitive serving the gods, whether it be wine or water or the high priest is the butler to the god who lives in that temple, that step pyramid, the ziggurat. Well, the high priest is in charge of that temple, and the god lives in that temple. Therefore, the high priest is the butler to that god. And he's making sure he has whatever he wants to drink, whatever he wants to eat, whatever clothes he wants to wear, and so on and so forth. Preparation for whatever ceremonies or whatever new laws, he's there to assist that giant alien god, period. And because he's a high priest, he's a descendant of one of those gods, a mixed breed descendant. So he knows to take care of that god. There is a trusted butler. The king also an offspring of one of these gods, mixed breed, is the trusted king to run the city. And as you go through this, you'll see giants and you'll see non-giants. Some are better carvings than other. I like, for instance, 3F. If you can look at 3F, you'll see a giant goddess as she's spinning yarn and a much smaller helper. And as that helper learns from that goddess how to spin the yarn and weave the clothes, that helper takes over the work, and the goddess can do other things now. So this is how man learned to take care of himself. They learned from the gods, because the gods walked and talked and lived with man on earth and showed them what they needed to learn. So for each civilization on earth, it was started by one of these giant gods, and they used mixed breeds as kings and high priests. And so the civilization began, the bloodlines got deleted, the civilizations no longer are living long periods of time, they're no longer giants, the bloodline's gone. The gods have left the sight of man, and the bloodlines have been dwindled away. No more giant mixed breeds. So as you go through these, you see her, you know, this is Aru, who is the daughter of Enki, and she's spinning yarn. Here is a beautiful, what is that? That's a stella? I'm not sure. That's a cylinder, giant cylinder, with the laws of Hammurabi on it. Written underneath these two figures is a whole bunch of laws given to the Babylonians through the giant king mixed breed Hammurabi. The giant god sitting there is Utu. And his symbol, he's the sun god. His symbol is the sun. So here you see more artifacts of the same type, where the god is being approached by the giant mixed breed king, paying his homage, paying his respect to the god or goddess. And these artifacts go on. Artifact 4D, you'll see a giant king named Naram-Sin. And right next to that giant king is what they call a shem. That is a landed cone-shaped item that flies. For instance, if you had a three-stage rocket, which we do, let's say we're taking some astronauts to the space station, you've got a three-stage rocket. The first two are getting you there, and the top is the command capsule, and that's what goes to the space station, or that's what goes to the moon, or wherever it's headed. It's called the shem. And there is a landed space capsule next to the giant mixed breed king Naram-Sin, who is part of a dynasty that was started by the Akkadians. Over here on 4E, you've got Naram-Sin again. And I believe he's standing on an earthling. So, you know, the battles, the dead earthlings under his feet, big difference between this and that. As these artifacts roll by, oh, by the way, artifact 4F, there are four different cylinder seals that had been reverse carved. See that scene on there? That's the negative image that was carved on a rock that had been fashioned into that cylinder seal. Okay? Now that image, when you take a piece of wet clay and you roll that cylinder seal across that wet clay, you'll get the positive image of that seal. And what you have is a extremely well-detailed reverse-carved artifact. Man did not do that. But in this artifact, there is a scene that is to be preserved for all time. And they would roll it out on the clay, they fire that clay hot, and you've got hard as a rock artifact that lasts thousands of years. Send one to this city, send one to that city. You got the first printing press. I mean, it's all right here, handed to us by the gods. Here, it's through these cylinder seals, reverse carved. Okay? Over here is a stella. That's this rock carving. Giant gods, kings, and earthlings. 5A is a giant goddess with a king and his ill daughter that he brings before the goddess begging for some medical attention. And above them are three different symbols. The eight-pointed star is Inanna. The moon crescent is her father, Nanner. And the sun disk is her twin brother, Utu. There's a family of gods, symbols, in the sky, and a different goddess with giant mixed breed king and daughter. You can see how this goes. 5B, this, here's another rock carving, and you have the giant god. He's standing, what, I don't know, 14 feet? There, by the way, there were life-size statues of these gods that are found in different museums. The museums in the Middle East during the time of ISIS, they went through these museums and destroyed all the artifacts, all the statues, all the cylinder seals, anything they found that had information of our past, showing the gods, the giant kings, the whatever, the flying saucers. All of this had to be destroyed. Islam does not allow you that knowledge. Christianity kept you from this knowledge. Judaism kept you from this knowledge. Governments kept you from this knowledge. It has been on earth for thousands of years. The Masons know very well of this knowledge, and when you look at the symbols of the gods, you will find them used by the Masons in symbols in cathedrals, businesses. For instance, the BMW logo is a flying disc, a symbol of the gods. Okay, so you got giant gods and you got semi-giant kings. The gods are, I would assume, are 14 feet. The statues, if you can find one, measure it, and that will tell you, because it's a life-size statue. Some of these rock carvings could be life-size as well. I think they're around 14, 16 feet. God knows what they weigh. And they're solid. The kings that are mixed breed and the high priests that are mixed breeds and living much longer than man, they're standing probably 8 to 10 feet. The early ones may have stood 12 feet. The earthling is standing around 5 feet. So one's twice as tall as the other, which is twice as tall as the other. You see how this goes. It was very easy for the earthling to see his giant king as his leader. I mean, who's going to argue with him? He's so much bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, and lives longer. He's the king. No one will question that unless another mixed breed tries from another city-state. So here again are more rock carvings on the side of a mountain. Giant gods, smaller earthlings, or smaller mixed breeds. Kings, oh, by the way, the females would be high priestesses, or just simply, you know, the wives to the kings. Okay, you're looking at some very good artifacts. This is the stuff Isis destroyed. So what you see here on my website no longer exists. Thank God I've got photos of these artifacts. There is proof these existed, and they came from those who came down to Earth, who taught us everything. Item 5G, very similar to 5F. What you're looking at is a goddess, a god, and a giant mixed breed king. Obvious heights different. The king will obey that god or lose his life. Next, on 5H, you'll see a giant god in the Wheel of Justice. And that wheel comes from Utu, the sun god, who was a giver of the laws. Over here on 5I, it's the same thing, Wheel of Justice. It's the same scene, except there's a very long text underneath this artifact. And there's a short text up above in the higher part of the artifact. And, of course, the Wheel of Justice. So as you go through these, when I said on 5K, that's King Ur-Nammu standing so tall. Now, he was probably 12 feet. I mean, he was one of the taller giant kings. Okay. And below him, that's a carving of a scene on rock. Man could not do this. Next, you'll see more gods, more giant mixed breed kings, and occasional earthling. The variance in sizes is obvious and repeated from artifact to artifact to artifact. There's no denial of these. There's just, how can you deny tens of thousands of ancient artifacts that lasted thousands of years? I think I have a tendency to believe original texts more than I do rewrites many times over of a text. So I like to read the original text, and I like to look at the artifacts because, for instance, 6A, you're talking about a scene, a time in history where this event took place. And, you know, to describe to you what we're looking at is a high priest standing on top of the temple or the ziggurat, home of the god. So he's in charge of the god who lives right there, and he's a giant mixed breed. Next is a giant goddess, alien goddess, who may be the mother to that high priest. Next, you'll see her son, a giant king, perhaps, and he's bringing dinner to Utu, who's holding a rock saw and has his foot on a beast, or usually an earthling or something. Utu's a warrior god. And you can see it right there in that artifact. And you can see the smaller high priest clearly. and whatever's there under the foot of Utu. Okay, so sometimes you'll see them in the sky in their flying disc. We call them saucers. We also call them UFOs. Here's a good example. 8B is the tomb of a giant semi-divine king. That is a giant. That is a carving on the side of a rock. That's quite a carving. And also in that carving is a long text. My goodness, who could be doing that? Way back thousands of years B.C. So again, the evidence of the gods who took us from Neanderthals, Homo erectus, skipping a million years of evolution, taking us right to Homo sapien. And modifying continues, and today we are Homo sapiens sapien. Now that's a long way from caveman to this history, a very rich history, way before the time of Christ. If we look at 8C, you'll see another. It's a mountainside carving of a huge scene. A giant makes-believe king and a faded giant god. Sometimes you'll find a flying saucer up in that scene as well. And then whatever war scene or whatever down below. That is a scene in history. And remarkably, 8D couldn't make it much clearer. 8D is one of the very first Persian kings. The original Persian king, Cyrus the Great, he was one of Alexander the Great's generals. Alexander dies young, five generals split up his empire. This empire is called Persia, and it's under Cyrus the Great. He has a son, Darius has a son, Xerxes, and so on and so forth. Anyway, you are looking at one giant mixed breed king and one earthling shading him. You see the difference in size? The seated king is far larger than the standing earthling. And there are many artifacts like this. If you check 8F or 8FA, you're going to see, again, these giant Persian kings. And many times above that king, being shaded by the earthling, above that king would be a flying saucer with his protector god in it. Maybe it's even his blood father. But this king is protected by the gods, or he didn't last long. So it's quite obvious what is being shown to you about the Nephilim, the giants. And they were giants because they were offspring of the giant gods who came down to earth and had sex with the daughter. Read Genesis 6, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So as you go through that slideshow between God and King, it just repeats and repeats exactly a scene. Now, there's your evidence. Are every one of these hard work just to produce, are every one of these artifacts lying? Way back then, just lie to us today? These are historical records. There are texts. Many of them go with the artifact. All right. The next slideshow down is giant gods who are punishing disloyal earthlings. So let's refresh the page, hit refresh, and we'll get the slideshow starting at the beginning. The first thing you see is number one. That is the god Nargle. He is the god of the underworld. That is his alien weapon that he's holding in his right hand and another one in his left hand. He has his foot upon an earthling. I think he has both feet upon an earthling. When you look at this, you're seeing the gods laid down the laws. You better follow. They're given to you by the king. The king better obey the gods. The earthling better obey the king. The rest of the homage to the gods and all that, keeping their image the way it should be, was done by the high priest and the high priestesses. Should he want a companion, he would just simply have a high priestesses or priestesses for his companions. Excuse me. And the female gods would do the same with the males for companions. Excuse me. I like this artifact. Some of these are valuable artifacts. Look at the third one on the slideshow. It's number 23. You have a battle scene. You can see him again, Utu, with his foot on an earthling. But in the middle of this scene is a wounded soldier who is receiving medical attention. And it looks as though he's receiving x-rays so they can find out where the problem is and how to fix it. Just exactly how it's broken or whatever. So there was advanced medicine brought down by the alien gods, administered on Earth, later taught to the semi-divines, who later taught the earthlings. It took many years for that process to happen. Many, many years. And then you'll find artifacts, some faded, some very detailed, of, once again, high priests, kings, gods, disloyal earthlings under one of the gods' foot. He's finished. I like the artifact five is a rock carving on the side of a mountain. And you can see it there. And it's hard to see it at first. But on the right is the black and white redraw of the actual artifact on the left. And what you have are the twin gods, Utu and Inanna. Inanna is the goddess of love and war. And Utu is the sun god. You can see the goddess is holding a symbol of which would be a standard of hers. And there she's holding that. And the other hand, she has a captive earthling holding him by the nose ring, leading them around by a rope tied to the nose ring. So torture and all these things that came with war, and on the scene below you see captives there, all these horrible things that come out of war were taught to man, executed by the kings on behalf of the gods. One family of gods under Enlil becomes angry with the family of gods under Enki, and now you've got cousin versus cousin, and wars go on for thousands of years. Mankind just can't seem to get out of it. And still, even today, you'll probably find these giant aliens behind it. A nice artifact is number 7 and number 8. But number 7 just simply shows you the twins again. Anana and Utu's holding what they called a 50-headed mace. It's alien technology. And the next one, number 8, you've got the high priest standing on the temple and the rest. A brief description pops up, but look at the artifact themselves. That's a lot of detail. That's all reverse carved and rolled on clay, printed for this city-state, another copy for this city-state, another copy. And that scene became knowledge known for each city-state. It was known all around Mesopotamia. And if a text went with it, same thing there. It was a wonderful thing, civilization that shows up on Earth. And by the way, there's identifiers on these gods, certain things let you know how to tell one from the other. Okay, and you go through this one after another. These are amazing artifacts. Amazing. If you look at artifact 14, you have a god with a weapon, an alien, you can imagine, about to strike an earthling. Next, you have Enki, the wisest of all the gods, the god of water. And the waters are flowing out of him and landing down, being caught by his two daughters, and he has many, but there's two there, seated below Enki, father. The next is the goddess Ninsun. She always has her hands in homage, okay? And, of course, they all have the horn rim crown, being that they're direct descendants of the king back on their planet. And then the last one you see there is another god, and different sizes right there. The earthling about to be struck by the god. These are blurry artifacts, these are clear artifacts, but they're all showing you the same thing. Earthlings got everything they did as a directive from the gods, kings, or high priests. And they always, the directive came from God. Okay, and there are many artifacts here. Go through them. Take a look. You'll be surprised how the earthling looked to the gods as they hang them upside down or step on them. As far as texts, there really aren't any. I did put some quotes together for you. So you can click on that and read some quotes. Yeah, it's a little shy on text, but long on artifacts. Oh, man, I got to talk about this. Under the last slideshow, there's, I think it's the last artifact in the slideshow. It's labeled number 10. Here we go again. Please find that slideshow. I'll tell you what you're looking at. Under giant gods punish the disloyal earthlings. You are looking at a giant Persian king who is a mixed breed, offspring of God and man. In front of him are captives because this king attacked and captured this city-state or that city-state, making his position in Mesopotamia greater than other kings. And sitting right above this scene is a god in a flying disc or flying saucer. You remove the feathers and you have a God inside a flying disc. Now that's the Air Force protecting that giant king. When you have an Air Force that many years BC riding over your king, you're not going to lose any battles. And the king isn't going to get hurt in battle because that Air Force can soften up any defense at any time it wants. And there are many of those saucers. So you see the gods directed things on Earth and always have. That's hard to swallow. They were here long before us, and I'm certain they'll be here long after us. If you had anything to fear from them, well, I guess it's this in BC. The idea is if we stop having war, that's how you stop hurting each other. And I think the gods would go along with that, although many of them are warrior gods. So you kind of, all your bad habits come from them, as well as all your advancements, whether it be DNA advancements or just simply technological advancements. By the way, I also have a slideshow that says from man's basics to far beyond, technologies beyond. So I recommend, if you wish to pursue further knowledge, take a look at that and you'll see what was first in Mesopotamia. And there's no doubt that's our first civilization that came right out of the cave. Impossible. And if you go to Inky's page, you'll find out how Inky and Herzog fashioned Homo erectus, passing a million years of evolution right into Homo sapien. So you can find that on Inky's page, Orn and Herzog's, and I think also Ningesidas. Those are the gods who knew the DNA manipulation and had every reason to do them. Okay, well, thank you for coming to my website. I certainly appreciate you doing so. I hope you picked up something that you may have not known or seen before. This website is full of items that no longer exist, such as the last item discussed, blown right off the side of the mountain by ISIS, and so on and so forth. That makes this website very important for the purpose of historical review, knowledge, to actually know where you come from. I think it's important. I present it to you. 24 years putting it together, and I hope you liked it. Please come back. Thanks again for coming.